Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Mine is trying to sell me. mine is trying to sell me a program to get me up to a basic reading level.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go, Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, football fans and NFL draft enthusiasts. What is up? Welcome to another episode of the Circling the Wagons podcast, the only podcast that's willing to see how dumb its hosts are by taking the NFL equivalent of an IQ test. I'm your host, Nate, joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. Fellas, it's great to be with you. We are continuing our off-season series of podcasts before the NFL draft. And in this episode, all three of us will take the Wonderlic test and discuss the results and our thoughts on the test itself. Now, what is the Wonderlic test, you might ask yourself? Well, we know it as football fans as the test taken annually at the NFL Scouting Combine for NFL draft prospects, but it was actually created in 1936 by E.F. Wonderlic. The Wonderlic Personnel Test was the first short-form cognitive abilities test in the areas of math, vocabulary, and reasoning. It is a popular group intelligence test used to assess the aptitude of prospective employees and applicants for learning and problem solving in a range of occupations. The Wonderlic is available in 12 different languages and is often used in college entry-level jobs and team-making efforts, and in this case, a podcast. It consists of 50 multiple choice questions to be answered in 12 minutes. So I have an example of a Wonderlic test question here. Would you guys like to hear it?
Yes, please.
All right, a train travels in 1/5 of a second. At this same speed, how many feet will it travel in 3 seconds? So a train travels 20 feet in 1/5 of a second. At the same speed, how many feet will it travel in 3 seconds?
I blame the question reader.
You will be able to see this. All right, let's do another one. The 9th month of the year is one.
September.
Okay, there you go. See, that's one of them. Word questions are tough to read aloud and to just listen to. So yeah, that's a sample question. You are not allowed a calculator in the Wonderlic, we found out.
There's quite a level of disparity in the two questions.
Yes, yes. if you're not good at math, it is. But also listening to it probably doesn't help.
One felt like an LSAT question. The other felt like first grade, second grade.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have a range of questions.
Okay.
Yes, one definitely sounds like it could be from like the SATs. Yeah. LSATs.
But again, that might have been poor reading.
Yes. Well, no, probably not.
Did you say 20 feet at the first part? I feel like a whole part was omitted.
Yeah, I definitely felt like I needed to hear it a second time.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on.
Okay. Yes, we will. Thank you. Originally designed to aid in employee selection, the Wonderlic Personnel Test has also been used by both the United States Air Forces and the National Football League for selection purposes.
True.
Yeah, all of this is true, actually. I'm reading off Wikipedia, so this is all true. During World War II, the Navy began using the Wonderlic Personnel Test to select candidates for pilot training and navigation.
Well, can't anybody just edit Wikipedia?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
In the 1970s, Tom Landry, coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was the first to use a Wonderlic personnel test to predict player performance, and it is still used in the annual NFL Combine as a form of pre-draft assessment. In short, it attempts to screen candidates for certain jobs within the shortest possible time, and it may be termed as a quick IQ test. So think of like we were talking, the LSATs or SATs, and like really short and really brief, and just trying to weed out like the, you know, not so smart versus, you know, the average. So a score of 20 is intended to indicate an average intelligence corresponding to an intelligence quotient of 100. So the Wonderlic test company claims that a minimum score of 10 suggests a person is literate. So, FYI. So here are some like median scores by professions listed below. So we have at the very top, average score of 32 for a systems analyst, 31 for a chemist. This is the very top. 30 for electrical engineer, 29 for engineer, 29 for programmer, and the list goes on. Accountant, things that you would expect people to have like somewhat high intelligence, executive, reporter, teacher, librarian. And then at the very bottom, the last few, you have 18 is a median score of like a craftsman, 17 a security guard, 17 a welder, 15 a warehouseman, and 14 a janitor. The average score, we won't do positions right now, but we'll talk about some famous scores after we take the exam. We're going to take it. It's 12 minutes long. When was the last time you guys took a meaningful exam of any sort, like tests in school? Like, I'm really trying to think of one that I've taken since I finished school, but I can't think of one. Like, probably when I graduated was the last time I took a test. You guys, have you taken one like any of any significance?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah. So no, Mike, no. Okay. All right. So this will be interesting. This will be one of the only times that we've taken. All right. Well, so this is good because we're all on the same level. We all haven't taken a test in years. We haven't been studying tests or anything like that recently. So, all right. So we're going to take the test and we're going to give our results.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Brutal.
So, all right. So we have our test results. So John, how'd you do? How many out of 50 did you do? First, let's talk about the test itself. What did you guys think about the test?
It was weird that there were a couple answers that repeated.
Yeah. Did you have one of those?
A couple of those.
So mind you, we're taking the sample test online, so it definitely wouldn't have happened in the real Wonderlic test. But yeah, I had a couple of, hopefully I got those right. I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
So you might've gotten it wrong twice or you might've gotten it right twice. And you also have the thing about the ads going by nonstop on the web
page. Right. Like the page will load and then it shifts up.
Yeah. Then it shifts up in the middle of it. Or you have a video playing in the left. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to pay attention to what that video is doing, but.
That's what they're there for. That's
like, do they really think that you're going to just click on the Lowe's ad while you're, trying to take a test?
There's a good deal on something.
There's a good deal on something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I could buy some nice appliances. So what'd you think about the test in general? Was it harder or easier than you thought it would be?
Harder. The time limit is something else.
I thought 12 minutes. I'm like, oh, 50 questions. Oh, that's not that bad. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you look down and there's like 5 minutes left. You've only gone through 20 questions.
And some of the questions are pretty wordy where it's like you have to read it a few times to make sure you're getting it.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys. I am terrible at word questions, you know, like, especially when they have to do with math, you know, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but whenever there's like four or five numbers and there's a bunch of words, my mind just goes blank. I just go into panic mode. I can't even like think to like write down which numbers I need. Cause then they'll throw in a number you don't even need. Like, wait a minute, how does that one go in there?
I'll comment on it, but I will not certify its authenticity. It was interesting because question one can be like a complicated math thing that you spend a disproportionate amount of time on. And question two is like, is a dog a mammal? Like, true, false. But question one is a math question that involves
several different
things that you're going through, and the five answers are all one. Like, you would try and do like, oh, process of elimination, like what's reasonable,
yeah,
but they're all off by one digit, say. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, they're very close, like to what the answer would be,
where you couldn't just use a mental model shortcut or something.
Yeah. And then the next question, so it'll be like sometimes it'll be a really difficult question math wise. The next one would be like, how many even numbers in this, in this list of six numbers are there? And you're like, okay, well, there's three, you know, that one's easy. Yeah. It's so funny. There's the complete spectrum of questions, you know, like this is to this, as this is.
We
to that.
Also have to entertain the possibility that it's not a true test.
So, all right, now that we're talking about that, let's talk about scores.
Just in the sense of,
Mike, do you want to go first?
Mine is trying to sell me. Mine is trying to sell me a program to get me up to a basic reading level.
At the end of your test, it's trying to sell correct. You. Well, like hooked on phonics.
$12.99. Like, I can hopefully get up to the 30th percentile of test takers.
What percentile did you get?
Just 36. 36 percentile.
Yeah. So what's the?
How many out of 50 did you get?
19.
19. Nice. Hold on. Let's see. You say that like I can't wait to see what you. Okay, so you're right under a receptionist and a train conductor, but you're above a craftsman.
I always wanted to be a train conductor.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
John, how'd you do? Out of 50.
I got 26.
26?
Nice.
Nice. Whoa, hey now.
Good job.
Let's see what that equals. All right, 26.
What percentile you're, is that?
71.
Nice.
71, nice. So,
what was your strategy at the end?
Just click on as many as I could.
Really?
Yes.
Like the last like 20 questions? Yeah. I missed like the last question.
Did you get through 50?
49.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so that's so real quick. Let me tell you, I was just,
okay.
I was just 1 point ahead of 27. Not to brag, John. I know your 26 is all well and good, but, hey, at least you beat Mike. No, so like 27 is like teacher is 28. And copywriter is 27, investment analyst is 27, librarian is 27, electronics technician, 26, salesperson, 25. So those are the ranges. But yeah, agreed. Like towards the end.
I didn't
like,
know we were guessing. I just stopped.
Well, at the end, you just got to like, if you can't answer like right off the bat, just put an answer down. Because,
just go through it. Yeah. Right.
And I wasn't even reading half the questions at the end because I only had like 30 seconds and like 15 questions.
So you got through 49. I think I only got through 42. Mike, how many did you get through out of 50?
In the 20s.
So anyway. so you doing 19 out of your 20s isn't that bad. Had you had a chance to take it again, you actually might have done pretty well.
Well,
or at least gotten more.
You kind of recall like in standardized tests, they tell you if you get to the end, you have nothing to lose. You might as well, it's going to be counted wrong if you don't do something, right? So you can just go through and
C
for everything or ABC, whatever your strategy is. So like thinking back, that would have been the way to go.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, you didn't know. You know, your mind couldn't process that. You don't have intelligence like John or I to pick up on that. It's not your fault. It's your feeble mind.
You guys could have went over some strategies for success.
Your brain process. I feel bad. I shouldn't make fun of people like that. It's not fair. So that was, so list, that was his list of occupations. Now, if we go to the NFL list of players that have gotten around like those scores. So like, if you want to go all the way down to the bottom of like famous NFL players, scores, look at the bottom, some names you might recognize. Morris Claiborne had a 4, which is probably one of the lowest scores that's been recorded, at least on this list. Morris Claiborne is a cornerback for the Jets. Kelvin Benjamin, Bills wide receiver, had a 7. Travis Henry, former Bills running back, had a 9. A.J. Green, wide receiver for the Bengals, 10. C.J. Spiller, 10. And it goes from there. So those are really, really low scores.
Do you know, like, the process actually someone takes this? Like, the way to do it would be to look at all the true-false questions. You know what I mean? Like, you could bang out those in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you actually were sitting down with a piece of paper and go through, oh, half of these are two questions or two potential answers. Right. And then go back to the math questions with 5.
And the answers aren't going to repeat, or questions aren't going to repeat themselves during the test.
Yeah, we couldn't even go back, though, like, to answer questions, like, if you left them blank. Like, there wasn't a way to go back. So you had – so that's probably one of the reasons why you went through and just took the time to answer, because you're right. Like, I don't get a second chance at them. But
there wouldn't be enough time anyway.
No, I kept looking at that clock. I'm like, what, 4 minutes? I've only gone through 20 of these questions.
There was a clock?
Yeah, there's a clock at the top. A very fastly ticking clock. So, yeah. Well, you didn't see that. Again, you didn't even think to look for the clock. Oh. I did not think you would have the lowest score. I thought for sure it would be John. No offense, John.
What's that supposed to mean?
No, Mike. I just...
You didn't think it'd be you, huh?
Should we... I wouldn't say that. I definitely crossed my mind for sure.
Let's take it again.
You guys are both you're both intelligent individuals outside of this test. So, you know. So high scores, we're talking the highest score. The only person that's ever scored a perfect score on the Wonder List is Pat McAnally, a punter. I think he's from the 1970s, scored a perfect 50. And then some other names you might recognize from the NFL, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the always famous 48. Former Bills, Titans, Bengals, Rams, I mean everything. Calvin Johnson, wide receiver for the Lions, 41. Carson Wentz, quarterback, 40. Alex Smith, 40. Eli Manning, 39. Eli Manning has never come off as a particularly intelligent individual, but 39, man, that's pretty good. Matthew Stafford, 38. A lot of quarterbacks have high scores, so I guess that's not really a huge surprise. I know that I had read somewhere that actually there are times when a high test score actually doesn't work in your favor as a player because coaches will think that you're too smart. So you might not take well to coaching or lessons or whatever, especially if you're smarter than them. So it actually sometimes works against them. Maybe not so much in quarterbacks, but other positions. Do you guys remember taking... This is kind of off the board a little bit, but it has to do with standardized tests. Do you guys remember taking standardized tests when we were kids, like the OLSATs or whatever they were?
California Achievement.
Yeah. And trying to, you know, take... we were in elementary school, right? That was the first, you know, standardized testing that we got. And I remember, and this has been something I've been dealing with my entire life, I always lose focus very easily. So what'll happen is... You know, like somebody would be talking to me and if it's something I'm not like really enthralled in, I'll just zone out, right? Well, I did this a lot as a kid too. And there's a listening portion of the OLSATs that is not in any other standardized testing now. Like you would never get that in the SATs or whatever where you have to listen. And it was halfway through the test and I just realized I'd zoned out for the first half. And then trying to figure out how to answer questions after that, just complete, like, unlike other questions, like sometimes math, like, okay, well, I can kind of shoot in the dark and take a guess. Like you said, like process of elimination. If you don't listen to the first half of it, you have no idea how to answer the rest of the test because you weren't paying attention. So it's not like you can just, oh yeah, because you didn't, it's not like you just heard half of it. You just missed it. So I always remember that and thinking, well, this sucks. I'll have to definitely remember not to do this in the future. in third grade. I just get very easily distracted. You know, it was like almost summertime, almost ready to get out. But yeah, that was really interesting, guys.
So here's an idea.
Okay.
But so that, you were saying, has been around since
1936.
That seems like a long time for it to dominate. And I'm not just denigrating it because I performed by far the worst. But we could come up with something better, like half the time. Call it something different. We do 25 questions in 6 minutes. So 50 questions in 12 minutes.
Yeah. It's like 6 minute abs instead of 7 minute abs. Yeah. Okay. A 2005 study by McDonald Mirabal found that no significant correlations between a quarterback's Wonderlic score and a quarterback's passer rating, and no significant correlation between a quarterback's Wonderlic score and a quarterback's salary. Similarly, a 2009 study by Brian Hoffman and John Mitchell found that Wonderlic scores failed to positively and significantly predict future NFL performance for any position. Donovan McNabb, whose 14 score was the lowest of the five quarterbacks taken in the first round of the 1999 draft, had the longest and most successful career. So the Lions study also found that the relationship between Wonderlic test scores and future NFL performance was negative for a few positions, indicating that the higher a player scores in the Wonderlic test, the worse the player will perform in the NFL. According to McNally, the guy that scored a perfect 50, who was selected by the Cincinnati Bengals in the fifth round of the 1975 NFL draft, George Young told him that his perfect score caused him to be selected later than he would have otherwise.
Didn't you say he was a punter?
Yes.
That's why he was drafted later.
Dude, back in the 70s, they were drafting punters in the first round.
Only the Raiders.
McNally speculated that coaches and front office guys don't like extremes one way or the other, but particularly not on the high side. I think they think guys who are intelligent will challenge authority too much. Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com agreed with McNally. Scoring too high can be as much of a problem as scoring too low. Football coaches want to command the locker room. Being smarter than the individuals makes that easier. Having a guy in the locker room who may be smarter than every other member of the coaching staff can be viewed as a problem, or at a minimum, as a threat to the egos of the men who hope to be able, when necessary, to outsmart the players, especially when trying in some way to manipulate them.
So does that mean the head coaches are taking these tests too, so they know if they're smarter or not?
No, I doubt they have. But they don't want
some. It would be interesting though, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. You got to figure there are definitely some players smarter than coaches.
Sure. So there's some really dumb coaches.
So Mike, you were going to say you have some scores from the 2018.
Yeah, so the 2018 quarterback class was released. Which kind of curious that the scores are always really, leaked, right? They should be almost on par, you would think, with maybe a HIPAA thing.
I think they are supposed to be confidential, but they always get leaked. Now, the question is, why do they get leaked? Do they get leaked to help teams help players slide to a team that wants to draft them? Like if you were at 10 and a player was supposed to go top five, you might release that player had a really low test score, so he would drop to 10. You know, there'd be an advantage in that. But I think they're supposed to be confidential. Yet I have a whole list from the Wonderlic test website that gives just about like 300 players scores.
So for this year, Josh Allen, 37, Josh Rosen, 29, Sam Darnold, 28, Baker Mayfield, 25, Lamar Jackson, 13.
Ooh, 13.
That's even worse than you, Mike.
I do feel a little better.
Man, you must really want the you must really want to draft Lamar Jackson. I think I could coach the guy. I think he'd be very coachable.
Yeah, I could totally see you'd like him people underneath. So you can outsmart and manipulate.
I really like having you on this podcast, Mike. You too, John. By one point. No, that's really. I heard Baker Mayfield did really well on another aptitude test, so I was surprised to hear that his score wasn't higher. So Josh Allen, 37, he's the highest, huh? Okay, well, we'll have to keep track of these guys' careers, especially like the Josh Allen versus the Lamar Jackson, the two ends of the spectrums. Two very different players, you know? So, yeah. All right, Mike, thanks for bringing that up. Well, it's been fun talking to you guys about the Wunderlich test, how it affects different professions, players in the NFL, used on rookies at the NFL Combine, and seeing how smart and dumb we are. So it's been fun.
I'm not sure it's predictive.
seems pretty predictive to me. Standing at this end, at the Josh Allen end, it seems pretty pretty predictive. Oh, you're right. You're right. It's. But see, hey, you know, it has no predictive.
Maybe somehow I got your score and you got my score.
We are on the same Wi-Fi connection, so I guess it could be. All right. Well, it's been fun talking to you guys about this. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.